Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to podcast 38 of 2019. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev or follow us at the Odds Breakers. Check us out on social media / the Odds Breakers. We have a fantastic show for you today. We have a guest that's been on quite a few times back, Mr. Doug Upstone, to break down Conference USA and the NFC North. So I'm very excited about that. He's going to be on shortly. This podcast is being sponsored by mybookie.ag for a 50% sign up bonus. Please visit mybookie. Use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs and sponsor the podcasts, we would love to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, become a member for $17.99 a month. You can get my picks and premium picks before the line moves for $2 more. You can have all that and become a patron subscriber and get the podcast a little bit early. If nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. Well, we have a lot to cover today, so let's get right into it. Let's get Doug back on the show. Now I'm very excited to welcome back a fantastic and well-known professional handicapper and longtime contributor to this show. You can find some of his great work at VegasProInsidersDaily.com. I'm very pleased to introduce Doug Upstone. Doug was 60.2% last year in college and 59.5% in the NFL. That is extremely great. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing excellent, Kev. How are you today?
Man, I am fantastic. Just loving the weather outside, loving life. Football is around the corner. I just been, you know, it feels like, you know, the summer, you're like, holy cow, it's coming. Then you do all your research and you're like, man, it's still a couple weeks away. When's that first college game coming? You know, you get all excited and it's just a fun time of year, but yet you wish that we had some games this weekend, but it's going to be right around the corner, my man.
It certainly is, you know, and we've had the little taste of preseason football, the NFL, which is, you know, it's an appetizer, but you know, it's some football and you can, you know, something you can wager on and have a little fun with. And as long as you be smart, hey, you know what? Why not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? If you're worried, you don't have to go your full unit size. You can, you know, throw a little bit on it, have a little fun, watch the games and enjoy it. So
exactly.
That's why I love it. It's, you know, it's kind of you try to look for certain angles, coaching angles, spot angles, backup position angles, and maybe you can come up with some. Had some success last year myself in the preseason, but I know you're very good at the preseason, and you're probably just rolling at Vegas Pro Insiders right now, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. The last 16 years when I finally, this goes longer story, but 16 years ago I decided that I got to figure out something to do with the preseason because I just had been letting it go, and so I did. And pretty simple methods. I've won 13 of the last 16 years in the preseason. Last 3 years, 15-7. So things are going well. And actually pretty excited about this upcoming week, to tell you the truth. I got some games I really like. And so we'll see if the magic can continue.
Well, fantastic there, my man. But I'm really excited to talk about the two areas of football. We got the NCAA. We have Conference USA, a smaller group of five conference that sometimes gets a little ignored, and we can find some value, especially during the year. And then, of course, we have to talk about the NFC North, being that you like the Packers and I like the Bears. You know, let's see where that goes. But where do you want to start here in Conference USA? You want to start at the top?
Yeah, well, just, you know, I mean, in terms of, let's just say, the teams that are favored, you know, you can go to any number of different sports books. But the top teams in terms of, let's just say, the top five or six teams, Florida Atlantic is the favorite coming into the season. The I'm not sure about that in terms of, but I understand why that they are, because you know of everything that the types of players that they actually have, and supposedly the coaching. North Texas definitely is right there. Marshall, Florida International, Southern Miss, and UAB. So that's your top six in order. Do I think that's how it's going to finish? Absolutely not.
I don't think so either, man. Well, you know, FAU's got Lane Kiffin over there, and they had a down year last year, but you know, his name itself probably brings them up in the gambling markets. I think their season win total is sitting at 3 or 7.5, it looks like, and I think that their future is only at +300-ish, +330. Is it any value there?
I see no value at all. Now, this is the fastest team in the conference. Let's get that out of the way. So there's no issue with speed, but their offense is, you know, I mean, Lane Kiffin is known as an offensive guy, but he didn't really have a quarterback last year. He doesn't necessarily have one coming into this season. So I think that's going to be a big problem. Defensively, tons of speed, but they don't play cohesively together. So I do not like this team to win their division, the Eastern Division. And in terms of the season win total, I think they're going to sit right at 7 and come under.
Look at that, man, right under there. Well, I got to tell you, they are in, I think, would you say that they're in the easier side of the division this year? I'm not sure. Marshall used to be the best for a while. You know?
Yeah, I think it's pretty balanced. I guess maybe a slight nod to the East, but not by much. I mean, there's some good teams there at the top. There's a couple of okay teams in the West. So I think each division has like three teams that are really there to compete, we'll know more later, but going into the season, I don't think there's much separation between the two of them, in my opinion anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. UAB won it last year, I believe. And yep. That was probably the best story in college football last couple years, right? With Bill Clark over there. They weren't even a team 3 years ago, and look at them, right. You know, coming up there and winning after a couple years being in football is just an amazing job. And I'm shocked that he's not coaching somewhere else right now.
Yeah, I give him credit on multiple levels. I don't know. I mean, in terms of your ability to you know, advance in your profession, I mean, it's not going to get any better than what it was last year, winning 11 games and then winning their bowl game and everything. Like I said, it's just remarkable to start from zero and then to see that to completion. But, you know, this year they only have 8 starters back, only one offensive lineman and one defensive lineman coming back, and no quarterback. Now, a lot of their underclassmen last year played quite a bit because they were in enough different games where they had some blowouts. But I just don't see this team as being able to, you know, come back, step up again. And so they're the third choice in the Western Division, and I think that's where they belong.
The third choice. And so you're looking at a season win total at 7.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 7 again. I think there's just enough there that, and especially if you look at their road games, there's some rough stuff there. So I'd go under 7.
Yeah, I think I would go under 7.5 for sure in this one too. And this might even be a play for me. I mean, they are, I think, dead last in returning production.
Yep.
UAB, 33% of production on offense, 39% on defense. And I love what they did there, but this is going to be, one of those, let's just get it over with type years, you know?
Well, it's just reality. That's all it is. They just have lost too many people. He did a great job in building the program back up, but you know, you just can't keep that going forever, especially at a school like that. And you know, you have to, you get the ebb and flow. If he stayed, I'm certain in 2 years, they would probably be the favorite, you know, to win the conference.
Yeah. And that's how these little conferences are, you know, when they have their seniors, they're winning in many cases. And when they're freshmen, sophomores, a few juniors sprinkled in there, you know, they're not, because
right,
these aren't the top recruits coming out. So they all kind of recruit on the same level. So it's usually a senior type game. So definitely see eye to eye on that. Who should we look at next?
Okay. Also in the East, the team actually that I really like is Marshall. Now, you know, their Doc Holliday is their coach. He's a very good offensive coach, but he's actually, and I don't recall the name of the defensive coordinator, but this guy does a solid job year in, year out. So I like what they have. Now, what I like, and of course we all know the old cliche, but it's true, the game's in the trenches. Marshall has the best offensive line and the best defensive line in the conference. So that's the core of where they're coming from. And I think overall, with what they have, I think that's what's going to be the big thing. And last year, they had 24 turnovers on offense. If they can cut that to a reasonable number, say 15 or 16, I think they walk away with the Eastern Division and are crowned the champs of USA.
Well, look at that. You're picking Marshall to be the champs, and that was sitting at, I think, about a plus 500 in some areas. That might be down a little bit even. My numbers are a little bit old when I stuck on this, but I think there's some other people on your side as well there. If you look at Marshall last year, their yards per play, their defense was pretty good at 4.82, but they really stopped the run. 2.95. Yep. Rushing yards per attempt. That's pretty huge there. My only concern with Marshall is I suppose on a returning production level, at least they return their quarterback, but they only return 63% on offense, which is kind of in the middle, but 50% on defense is on the lower end. But Marshall, as we all know, has been the class of this, you know, Conference USA for a very long time. Doc Holliday, yep, there. Definitely not a bad bet there. Who do you have next?
Okay, the other team that fits into that mix is Florida International. The hesitation I have, I think they're also 7.5. And before I forget, I do like Marshall on the over on the win total.
Over 7.5.
Yes. But Florida International, I think, is also 7.5. The things that I don't like with them, their offense should be dynamic. This James Morgan is the second best, at least in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the country. And their secondary, not many people are going to realize this, their secondary is top 15 in the country. That's how good they are against the pass. So they're really good. Problem is, there's no pass rush. Linebackers are slow. That's a big problem. Now, Butch Davis has a longtime great coach, but even he can't overcome some of the weaknesses that this team has. I think they'll finish second in their division, but that's as far as it goes. And if I believe it's 7.5, I would say I'd give them a shot at 8, but I would probably lean towards the under.
You know, so Florida International was my team that I was looking at earlier in this conference. And this is actually the one that I liked to I like to win it because I like coaches like Butch Davis at his third year. I love a college coach at his third year when they're trending up. I like how they finished the year last year. Yeah, they lost to Marshall 25-28, but they did a great job against Toledo in their bowl game. They kind of took care of business, scoring a lot of points there. My question is definitely, like you said, the defensive line. Are they going to be able to stop the run this year? Well, Butch Davis has been a defensive coordinator for a long time in his life, right? I would think that hopefully he could take some of this returning production that they do have and make them a little bit better. I think where they rank in returning production is pretty high. So top 35, I believe. So, this is the team, I think, from a value perspective at getting plus 600. This might be the one that you would want. What I don't like is their schedule, and I hate going against schedule, man. And this is the weird part. You got a returning coach, returning quarterback, the team's trending up, but then they're playing at FAU at the end, then Miami at home, then at Marshall.
Yep.
That's what I hate about this team. But the question is, are they going to be able to overcome that somewhat of a revenge game at Marshall? This game could be decided at the end right here. And I think it's coming out of this division as well, like you said.
Yep.
So that at Marshall game might decide the factor right there. Who do you have next?
Okay, the team that's favored to win in the West is North Texas, and that's where the best quarterback in the league is. His name is Mason Fine. He's had two excellent seasons. The problem is not enough defense pretty much across the board. He covers up for a lot of this team's weaknesses by how good a passer he is. And they, you know, and they do have good receivers and such. So that's that, you know, they're fine there, but their defensive line, you know, is just, it's below average in this league, which is certainly not good. And the other thing is that they lost, I believe, half their coaching staff from last year. So Seth Luttrell has done a very good job at, in terms of impressing others as the head coach. And so his assistants, they got raided there. And so he's left having to kind of rebuild the whole, or a good portion of the whole staff, which is typically a negative. So I, you know, North Texas, I'm going to take them to finish behind Southern Miss overall.
Yeah, I actually like Southern Miss better than North Texas too. They lost a lot of defense on this team, and they're kind of like the favorites in this division, I believe. They're second to take the conference, right? So it must be their quarterback that everyone's high on, Mason Fine, like you said over there. But as far as you know, where they can take this, I don't think that. I don't like their over 7.5. They got a tough game against Houston. They got at Cal, you know, at Louisiana Tech. You know, we'll see at Southern Miss. I'm personally leaning towards the Southern Miss myself. So why don't we get into Southern Miss?
Yeah, I like their experience on defense. I think that's the real strength of the team. The quarterback play is, I mean, it's okay. Nothing special. And you have to always qualify that, because we're talking Conference USA here. So it's not like we're talking, you know, this quarterback, you know, would be a star or even be average in the pick the Power Five conference that you like. But where their season is going to make or break is going to be if they find a running game. Last year, they were 121st running the ball. You cannot have offensive balance being 121st running the ball. So that's their other key. And then in terms of the schedule, what they need to, you know, they have to win their home games. If they do that, they'll have a shot at a very fine season. And I think they can win the Western Division and face, in my opinion, Marshall for the title.
Yeah. And this team, this Southern Miss team, returned a ton of production. They're fourth in returning production. 94% of offense is number one, and they were 71% of defense there. So 82 overall ranks fourth in the nation. So you got to definitely like that. That last game at FAU is going to be the one that tells it right there, I think, if they're going to be able to kind of come out there. So I don't know. We'll see. I like it. I like them better than the North Texas on that side as well.
Yep.
Any other ones you want to cover?
No, there's a bunch of teams as you see that have win totals in the 2.5 to 5 range. Yeah. And to try and, you know, think that you're really smart. And this is, again, my opinion, but to think that you're really smart and trying to figure over and under on teams like this that have clear and present weaknesses, I mean, I think you're guessing.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Rice won two games last year. UTEP won one game. Both season win totals are 2.5. I believe they're juiced to the under. Don't want to touch this at all. I mean, these are kind of teams that would play the FCS and lose, right?
And they do, or they're who you schedule for homecoming.
right. Who you schedule for homecoming, they got a shot. But I don't see too many wins under Rice. They play at Army, Texas, Baylor, Wake Forest.
No,
not conference. That's that might be the only one that you definitely would take under. But I think it's juiced up to -200. So that tells you all you need to know right there, my man.
Well, the odds makers are telling you if it's 200. You know, I mean, because they don't want to come off that number.
Yeah
that's they don't. Plain and simple.
Exactly, my man. Well, awesome. Great job breaking down this conference here. Marshall's looking good for you, and I'm liking FIU. So we'll see kind of what happens towards the end there. Maybe we'll have to have a couple beers together and watch that last game. So that'd be,
you know, I'm up for it.
We both are. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's move into, though, another conference. Well, I guess division in the NFC and the NFL. the NFC North is yours and my probably maybe most focused conference. My favorite team is the Bears, so I just happen to know the most about that team via social media, via friends, via just what I listen to. You tend to lean towards the Green Bay Packers as a fan. Man, I'm excited to break this division down a little bit with you. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm ready to go here. I used to be more of a, let's just say, more of a Packer fan when I lived in Wisconsin. Obviously, living here in Arizona, it's dissipated a little bit, and obviously doing what I'm doing now compared to what I used to live there. That's changed my perspective a little bit. But the one thing that the biggest difference between you and I is that among Packers and Bears is that I do not have any blue and orange Kool-Aid in my house. Never in the refrigerator. Never.
That's a good thing. And, you know, I'm actually one that's bet against my team a lot. So the listeners know that I'm not afraid to fade my teams. As a matter of fact, I probably bet against the Bears more than the last 15 years than I've bet for them, which was probably a good thing. So
that was a smart thing to do. Exactly.
happened to be a good thing. So, but this year they have a very, very tough schedule. Aaron Rodgers is back with a new coach, Matt LaFleur. I'm going to let you start, Doug. Who is the best team in this division, or at least who's going to come out on top?
Well, this is probably going to surprise you, but I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears. And there's a lot of reasons to like the Bears. And, you know, and one of the things is that they definitely look like they're on the uptick. I mean, that's the number one thing. Mitchell Trubisky. I still have some doubts about him as a quarterback personally, but you know there is the potential there for upside, and he's also with the right coach in Matt Nagy, at least in my opinion, because the success of any franchise, let's just call it over a period of time, is a relationship between the coach and the quarterback. I mean, you don't see guys or teams that a quarterback has multiple coaching changes and the guy's a consistent all-pro. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Or if it does, it's extremely rare. So now, you know, the honeymoon phase is a little bit over with now. And so now Trubisky needs to take that next step. And in terms of, let's just say, what he has to do, now I know you're the bigger Bear fan, but tell me if you disagree. I think he just has to become a more accurate thrower inside and outside of the pocket at about 15 yards in that range, you know, maybe that, let's just say 12 to 18 yards down the field. Obviously, his legs are a huge asset for him. So I think there's a lot of upside with him, what he can produce. And I like the offensive line. I like their zone blocking scheme. And I like the idea of bringing in Mike Davis and David Montgomery as running backs. I think that adds them a little more of a power dimension this upcoming season on their offense.
Well, I got to tell you, Doug, hearing that is great because there's a lot of people fading the Bears, and I think they're forgetting the most important thing. You know, a lot of people just look at record and say regression, regression, regression. They go in your mind, and one person says that, then the other person says it. You know, it's like, wait a second here. I understand regression if there's an aging factor to some of these teams, or, you know, maybe a turnover battle was completely on the opposite side one year, but that wasn't the factor with these. The Bears were young. They might have been the youngest team playing last year, right? Yep. Maybe next to Buffalo or something, but this is kind of the upward trajectory that I was kind of thinking myself. And they get a lot of those tough teams at home. You know, they do have obviously the tough schedule, having to play Kansas City, the Chargers. They got the NFC East with Philly and Dallas, and of course then you have the Rams and the Saints, but you know, they should take care of their division too. And I agree with you, Doug. I am not enough to bet over 9.5 wins, and I think it's down to 9 even right now.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
And so my number was 9.6, and just based upon, you know, maybe there's some hiccups, they were pretty healthy last year, but I see Mitch getting better, you know, and I think that's a very good chance. And I think their defense really won't miss a beat. You know, they have Clinton Dix there, you know, and you know, they lost Adrian Amos, but Clinton Dix is coming in with a chip on his shoulder, as we all know. They got Buster Skrine there to replace Callahan in the nickel. Mike Davis is a very capable quarterback. And if you watched any of that Bears game, Montgomery really looked the part.
Yep.
in that first preseason game.
Yeah, what the my only concerns, and they're pretty small, is, you know, like I say, is they have changed defensive coordinators. So that's a little bit, you know, Pagano, I mean, he's well respected as defensive coordinator, but I, you know, there's, it's still a difference. Now, I think there's enough there. Last year also, they had 27 interceptions. I mean, that's just, that's a silly number. Let's be honest on that one. So chances are that's not going to occur. But if the pass rush is there and the linebackers can stop the run, I don't think that you're going to see much of a drop off there. So yeah, I think the Bears are still in the come. And at 9, I have absolutely no problem taking the Bears over 9 to win the division. And if I haven't decided yet, but in terms of a longer shot, you know, to, it's not even a long shot, but I mean, to win the NFC, I think you have to put them under consideration for someone other than just the favorites.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you. Thank you for that. Who do you have second in this division?
I have the Minnesota Vikings. Yes, the land of 10,000 lakes. And in, this is an even-numbered year for Mike Zimmer, their coach. And lest we forget, they won the division in his second year and in his fourth year. So, what should we expect?
it's time to get closer.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I think they'll be right there with the Bears. You know, obviously, there's a great deal of pressure on Kirk Cousins. And you can, in no way, can you overlook the fact that as a starting quarterback in his NFL career, he's 34, 37, and 1. That still matters. However, last year, and this isn't his fault, the offensive line, which has not been very good for a while, last year was a disaster. And they went from 7th in rushing the year prior when they went to the NFC Championship to, I believe, 23rd last year. So they've retooled their offensive line. If they can have a running game, okay, that is going to make Kirk Cousins a much, much better quarterback as opposed to having to throw the ball all the time. They have plenty of offensive weapons. Okay, there's no issue on that. I'm not sure that Dalvin Cook is a 16-game running back for Minnesota, but if he can, you know, just say relatively healthy for at least 13 of those games, I think, you know, the offense will be much improved. Defensively, you know, the last year, I don't know. The numbers look good for Minnesota last year, but here's one thing, is that they were fourth in total defense and 9th in points allowed, but and their points allowed last year, their average was 21.3, but 7 times they gave up more than that number, and they were 0-6-1 straight up in those games. Mm. It's a veteran unit, but it has to play better in order for this team to win.
So I got to tell you, from what I've seen right now, I have the Packers a little bit ahead of them, and I have the Packers wins at 7.6, and I have the Vikings at 7.3. But I mean, three difference, third of a point. That's kind of a toss up. I love what they did with their offensive line, like you said, drafting Garrett Bradbury, picking up Josh Klein. I like. How they drafted Alexander Mattison too. He's kind of that running back that protects, gives Cook a little bit of rest. They got Abdullah. He's good in the passing game in case Cooks gets injured. Their at-large games are manageable. They got the Falcons there, and the Falcons have a pretty bad defense, so we'll see what happens there in the Seahawks. But what you say about Kirk Cousins is huge. Will he gain confidence to win the big game? Because he has not been that person that can win the big game, and that's been his biggest strike against him. I love their coach. You know, Zimmer, he's fantastic, and they did lose a little bit that I don't like. Sheldon Richardson there on defensive tackle, don't love that. They lost Sendejo, their safety, very good safety right there. So don't care about Trevor Siemian. That doesn't matter. But I think they're going to be there. They're going to be hanging in there too. So I think between them and the Packers, it should be definitely pretty close. So
yeah, I'm looking at Minnesota, and my opinion on this team, this is a team that's capable of winning 8 games or 11, okay, and they can finish in the middle, of course, too, but I think that's where they're lined up at, is somewhere in there, and it's just a matter, is it, you know, for better or for worse, if the offensive line and Cousins play well, it's going to be towards the higher end.
So no play on the total for you then? It would be
I would only lean over on that, but I wouldn't, there'd be a lean. It wouldn't be a play.
Okay. Well, fair enough, my man. Let's move into the Green Bay Packers, and their win total is, what, 9 or 9.5? I when I wrote this down a while back, it was 9.5. Has that changed?
Yes, it's not. It's a solid 9 now. Yep.
All right. Well, so looks like when I wrote it down, there's been some people a little bit more on your side with the Packers here. Would they have 6 wins last year? I think.
Yes.
And yep. That's kind of a big jump to give them 9.5. That would say that their schedule changed greatly and they got a bunch of players. I don't know if that happened. What are your thoughts?
Well, the schedule, I'm not a huge schedule guy, only because, especially in the NFL, because what happens before the season going in and what the reality is are often two different things. As we talked about even last year at this time, you know, basically we have a turnover of 52% in division champions each and every year. Sans the New England Patriots. But otherwise, you know, so you all have that constant turnover. So, you know, you could put something towards it. But I don't think, you know, to use it as a big factor, at least me personally, I don't in terms of that. Now, look at this. Aaron Rodgers, there was a great deal of urgency. I mean, the Packers changed basically everything this year. New general manager. They signed free agents. They went after it, basically, is what they did. Aaron Rodgers is going to be 36 during the season, but he's not a young 36. Okay, as opposed to, let's just say, Breeze and Brady, for example, because he's been injured the last 2 years, missed significant time. He has his strength of holding onto the ball has now become more of a weakness because hanging on the ball, he's getting hit more, and now he's ending up not playing. So that's the problem. But so they bring a new coach that is more of a run-oriented coach. So I think that can help the Packers, and they have a good offensive line. So offensively, if the receivers come around, besides what's his name?
Davante Adams. Right?
Davante. I started to say Davis. I knew Davante. But so they have him. Now, if some of the other younger guys come around, I think that offensively they could still be pretty good. I'm not sure what Jimmy Graham's going to give them other than maybe somebody to score touchdowns, you know, inside the 20-yard line. Defensively, though, this is the thing. Mike Pettine, their defensive coordinator, throughout his whole history, other than last year, with the possible exception of 1 year, he's always had a top 10 defense in total defense. Last year, they were 18th. Made huge changes across the board on all three levels. I think this team is going to be better that way. But bottom line, okay, I'm looking at Minnesota is at worst going to be where they were, if not slightly better. I look at the Bears as on an uptick. I see the Packers with potential, but I don't see how everything in one season comes together. It can. I'm not going to say that. But to think that everything's just going to fall into place and all of a sudden they're going to win 11 games and win the division, boy, for me, that's a stretch. And I'm looking at the Packers. I think this is a team that's going to win 8 times. I would take the under, and I think that that's just where they're at.
You know, I'm a little bullish on the Packers, and I didn't mean enough to go ahead of the Bears, but like I said, it's slightly over the Vikings, and I think it's because of their coach Matt LaFleur. I think it's going to tell Rodgers that it's either he performs this year or it is his fault. You know, there's been a lot of coach replacement due to grumblings from the fan base, from the media in Green Bay, all over Wisconsin, Milwaukee, everywhere. And they made the big call. You know, they fired a Super Bowl winning coach, right, in McCarthy.
Yep.
And
yep.
So and that was what everyone says. Now Rodgers has to put up or shut up. But not just that. I like Matt LaFleur because I thought he was great in Tennessee. I thought that as an offensive coordinator, he got them more wins than many other people could have there. He's been with the Rams before their coach over there, Sean McVay. you know, he's been under him for a little while, I believe.
Yep.
And he's learned some great traits there. So I think that there's a serious upgrade right there. I don't love Rashawn Gary as a draft pick. That's going to be a wait and see. I thought they kind of reached with him a little bit early. I think he wasn't even sacking the quarterback that much when he was in Michigan. We'll see if their safety, Darnell Savage, does anything. Lots of changes on defense, losing Clay Matthews, Nick Perry. They lost their slot in Randall Cobb. It's like you said, are these receivers going to do anything? Is Jimmy Graham a year older? Is that going to affect anything? I don't know. But like you said, I am a little bit under 8. I'm at 7.6 wins with the Packers, and I think they're more like a year away myself. So I have to agree with you on that.
Yep.
Now, I guess last and definitely least. Definitely least. Matt Patricia with the Detroit Lions can't even score a point at home against his old boss, Bill Belichick. Wow, what a ass whipping that was out in Detroit in the first preseason game. What is going on with this Lions team?
Well, I actually looked this up, and I'll give you the history, all right? Now, I found this fascinating. I hope somebody else besides me finds this fascinating. So, okay, who's the only team to never be in a Super Bowl? Of course, I just gave it away.
Yeah.
Okay, the Detroit Lions. So, in fact, the last time the Lions played for any championship was 1957, before the AFC even was around. And so that year they won it, which, by the way, this is fairly remarkable. It was their third championship in 6 years in 1957. Their quarterback is a Hall of Famer. His name is Bobby Lane. And late in that season, he got hurt, and he missed the last two regular season games and the playoffs. So in the offseason, after they had won the championship, he was traded to Pittsburgh. And as the story goes, as when he left, he was quoted as saying, "The Lions won't win a championship for 50 years." Hence the beginning of the curse of Bobby Lane.
It's been over 50, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. But but I read that. I did not know it. Obviously not from Detroit or anything. I thought it was a fantastic story. I loved it.
Hey, I find that fascinating as well. The only problem with the Lions over the years with Matt Stafford, with me, is that every time I'm high on them, they bust. And every time I'm low on them, they seem to eke out like 8 or 9 wins and possibly sneak in. You know, that's just been the Lions. And I find it really hard to think that they're going to do it this year. You know, that yin-yang, back and forth type, you know, season to season. You know, Matt Patricia, defensive type guy, is that going to be enough? Because they sure have already lost a ton of production on the receivers when Tate left. And yep. Guess what? The guy they picked up, Curse, just broke his leg. You know, that's a curse right there. That could be part of the Lane curse that you just went over. I like TJ Hockenson, their tight end draft. Are they actually going to properly use him? Who knows? You know, they kind of drafted a bunch of kind of, you know, mediocre guys from what I see, minus Hockenson. They lost Ezekiel Ansah, a very good guard in TJ Lang. You know, Luke Wilson, LeGarrette Blount, not as big, but they did pick up Trey Flowers, and that's from the Patriots, obviously. Cornerback Justin Coleman there. Are these guys washed up? Did they lose the hunger now that they won those championships with the Patriots? I don't know. Tight end Jesse James. Danny Amendola is going to be the safety blanket now for Matt Stafford. They have that great rusher at Kerryon Johnson, but I just don't see where the wins come in. This is a very tough division for them. And, you know, I have them slightly under 7 wins, and I think I'm being a little bit optimistic on them. What is going on here?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, with Matt, I mean, the point I made earlier about a coach and a quarterback, you know, having a marriage, and, you know, Matthew Stafford's in his 11th season, and how many coaches has he had? I mean, so that's part of the problem. The other thing, too, though, and this is just a hypothetical. If you asked 20 people, do you think that Matthew Stafford has reached his potential as a quarterback?
Yes. Okay.
I think that would be a interesting question because, I mean, in many ways, he was thought of as just, you know, I can't think of a great comparison more recently, but he's just, you know, great arm, does a lot of things well, but he just doesn't win enough. Now, again, part of that is, you know, continual change and changing coordinator, changing offenses and all that stuff. But I just never seen the, you know, with him. Now, part of the other problem, I mean, when's the last time Detroit had a good offensive line? I can answer that question, generally speaking, when Barry Sanders played, and he retired 20 years ago. Okay, so that's a problem. As you mentioned, the rest of the receivers, you know, there's just nothing there. Amendola, you mentioned Amendola. He's coming off his worst year. Oh, and by the way, he wasn't on New England, and he's 34 years old. Now, defensively, I actually like what they did last year. They went, their defensive line went from one of the worst to one of the best. And as you mentioned, they're adding Trey Flowers. So I like what they can bring it. And I like Darius Slay a lot at corner. But I just can't see this team winning. You know, there's over under is 7. That seems maybe. I can't go over. So it's either pass or under.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lean for me as well. But like I said, I'm scared to bet on the Lions because every time I think they're going to be bad, something happens there. But I'm just not sure if Matt Patricia has the brains to run this team. You know, I mean, everybody under Bill Belichick, everybody thinks that you came from the Patriots that you should be some kind of crazy good head coach. I do not know why that is. Time and time again, we have seen that not come true. We've seen their offensive coordinator go to Denver and look what happened there, right? And,
yeah.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, there's no distinctive reason, but I mean, as the most obvious reason is, well, because none of them are Bill Belichick.
Yeah, right.
So that's where we start at. And let's face it. I mean, I don't know. You could say who's the greatest coach of all time. And of course, that's a subjective question, but you're not going to place anybody above Belichick.
No.
So you could say, okay, this person is as good. So I think it goes to this is that, I mean, Belichick, you have the greatest coach ever. Okay. And he has these assistants who learn from him. And in also though, they get the professional arrogancy of that. And so it gives them an inflated opinion of what they are and what they know. Now, they do a very good job in that system with those kinds of players. But you know, when you take a job somewhere else, you're not crossing the street to take a job of equal value. You're taking a lesser team. And like in Patricia's case, for example, and you know, it's, and even some other guys, Patricia, you know, do all the other teams want to hit as much as New England does in the preseason? Do all the other teams in the NFL want to run as much in the preseason and during the course of the week as New England does? I'm going to say most of them don't. And then you start breaking down individual players. So what he has done, there is a culture there, and that culture is not easily transferred to other places. And unless somebody literally is the exact protege of Belichick, I think it's very difficult to develop what he has done.
Yeah, you know, and I know the jury's still out on Patricia and Vrabel, but you've had guys like Romeo Crennel just looked at as a terrible coach. Eric Mangini had chances with the Jets and the Browns. Like I said, their coordinator, Josh McDaniels with Denver, had a terrible falling out there, some lying and some back and forth with Cutler. I guess Bill O'Brien worked on the Patriots staff for a little while, yeah. But he made the playoffs. But, you know, we know how easy that Texans schedule was last year. I think you might see a little bit of a different story this year. But, you know, I guess he's their only shot as well. But I personally think this because Belichick doesn't hire coaches. He hires coordinators. You know, he hires guys that are going to listen and kind of be the buddy of some of these players. The head coach is the one that's the authoritarian, and then sometimes the assistant coaches are kind of the ones that be like, you know what, he's just, you know, try to calm them down after they get their ass chewing. So I think those are some of the personalities, like Matt Patricia and some of the. I don't see the drive in some of these guys. So I think Bill Belichick will tell you he doesn't hire head coaches. He hires coordinators that will do their job when he wants it. So that could be part of the reason itself. But I just want to add that I do think Bill Belichick is the best coach of all time.
Yeah, I mean I don't know where you go to say that, you know, kind of like Saban in college. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that at this time we have, you know, the two, you know, I mean, some people argue, but the two best coaches in football coaching at the same time.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
That is remarkable. And part of the reason why they're so undervalued in the betting markets is because the betting markets just looking at stats and analysts. They don't really look at how he can look into a game and make coaching decisions to adjust for things that put them in a much more favorable situation just from a smart coaching adjustment. You know,
yeah.
it's hard to quantify that. And I think that's a big reason why the Patriots are so great ATS over the past 20 years under Bill Belichick is because Vegas can't even adjust for him because you have these analytical guys that just look at pure numbers and they just do not understand how well Belichick can see what the other team's doing and adjust to that. So
yeah, you know, and he makes mistakes too. That's the other thing. I mean, let's face it, that against Seattle in the Super Bowl, not calling a timeout, I mean, that was just nothing more than luck. I mean, and that happens too. I mean, and so a lot of times when you're good, you catch some of those breaks.
Absolutely. Well, hey, man, is there anything we need to recap? Any plays you'd like to give to our listeners before we leave?
Well, let's see. If we're talking Conference USA, I'm going to go against you, but I still really like Marshall as as my best bet for season win totals and to win their division and to win the conference. And I like the Bears to win the I like their win total at over 9. I like them to win the division, and I would strongly consider them also as an NFC play to also win their particular conference.
Well, that's fantastic, Doug. Thanks so much for coming on the show, my man. I really appreciate your time coming in to educate us on your thoughts on this Conference USA and the NFC North, my man. Have a great rest of your week. I'll be watching the games this weekend and tweeting at you.
You gotcha, my friend, and thanks for having me. It's always a great fun, and hey, we'll do it again.
That was Doug Upstone from VegasProInsidersDaily.com. Make sure you check him out and his 60% winners right there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Please remember to rate, subscribe, and review. And this weekend, go get some winners.